Hi, this is Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Terry, what's on our agenda today?
We got a good list of stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about a rescued pit bull named Caesar.
Oh, man, I haven't followed that story nearly as closely as you have, but it is an incredible story of a fabulous dog and a really wonderful woman down in Texas.
Really, really amazing story. Really touched me. And then we're going to do a follow-up on Life's Journey's therapy dog.
Cool.
I had a class yesterday. And we've got a couple of updates on products. And a Winston update, I hear.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start with Caesar.
Okay.
So for the folks who aren't following us on Twitter, first of all, why not?
That's right.
Because we've been reposting a lot of the Caesar information, and I would just kind of give a summary, and if anybody's interested, we'll certainly have links to the full Caesar story. But Caesar was a pit bull bait dog that was left out in Texas, basically, to die.
And a bait dog is a dog who's used in dog fighting.
Correct.
To train the other dogs?
Correct. They are basically, they're just kill targets.
They're just
practice targets. Yeah,
yep.
they're it's terrible, terrible thing. That's a whole other episode on the evils of dogfighting. But in this particular county in Texas, pit bulls, if they're rescued, animal control picks them up. They are euthanized. They don't, because there's so much dogfighting there. They don't even try to rehabilitate or place.
Oh man.
So even the ones that are pets don't have a chance. In Caesar's case, a farmer found him laying in the field, in his field. He had left front leg was completely tore up. It was still there, but it was unusable and unrepairable.
So he couldn't walk.
He could hobble. He did this hobble bounce
Barely.
Thing, but it was very painful. He had large gashes all over his legs and back from bite marks and claw marks. Those gashes happened to have been infected with fire ants who were just eating on him while he lay there. This farmer was trying to find somebody to take him because the demeanor of the dog, even under those conditions, was phenomenal. He was just a gentle, caring young dog. And so he kept bringing water and feeding him. Somehow, and I don't have this particular piece memorized anyway, he connected with a lady named Jamie Witt, who her and her roommate are animal lovers, but they went out and picked up the dog that would become Caesar to bring him home and see what they could do to rescue him, because they didn't want him to go to the shelter either.
Oh man, don't you love people like that? They're heroes.
And she, based on what I've seen on her website, they've got a couple of animals and they're pretty big animal lovers.
That's
so
great.
That's pretty neat. So long story short with Caesar, Caesar's had the front leg removed. He had on the tip of his tail, they had to remove, looked like about an inch of it, because he had chewed it down to the bone. It looked like a stress chew, but it wasn't. There wasn't enough there to repair. It was just a bone tip hanging out.
Right.
They repaired all the gashes. They fixed him while he was in surgery, and he's home doing really well right now.
He's a phenomenal dog. I've seen, as you have, video of Caesar and still images of him on the internet, and this animal is just sweet. You can see it in him. To have been through what he's been through and to allow people to help him, to never snarl, never, ever do anything. But I swear to you, his face says thank you.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
just adorable. And my hope for Caesar, I think he'd be a fabulous therapy dog someday. I don't know if he's going to get to stay with Jamie or if he's going to go to another home.
I think Jamie's still trying to decide that.
Okay.
I shot her an email encouraging her to, one, keep Caesar and to make him a therapy dog, but I don't know if she has the resources to do all that, because I agree. I think he's just so calm-natured.
He's got a great temperament, and he's got a great story. He's a survivor. And just think about it. You know, if you're a human and you're in the hospital in therapy because you've lost a limb, how cool would it be to have a therapy dog who's lost a limb come visit you?
Yeah.
There is such empathy there. Anyway, he's a great dog, and we'll keep following the story.
We will, and we'll post up links so you can read the full story and see all the videos. But one of the neat things is Bark Radio got involved through Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I actually do read a lot of the tweets that come to us and it, the people that we're following. And I saw this come across about Caesar, caught my attention, started reading it, corresponded with Jamie a little bit, and started to really push out her story.
Mm-hmm.
The neat thing is you know, these are college-age kids, and they don't really have a ton of money. So through the use of Twitter, they managed to raise all the funds they needed to do all the surgery on Caesar, get him back, and still had enough to buy him a bag of food. I thought that was amazing.
That's such an incredible positive use of the internet. Blows my mind that there were folks who just, you know, sent money to the vet because they saw it on Twitter. And how fabulous is that? I think that we, as a human community, the more of this sort of thing that we do for individual animals, the better we are as human beings. It's just a fabulous story. It's a win-win.
It really is. It's an amazing, amazing story. Maybe we can actually get her onto an episode, do a quick interview sometime.
That'd be great.
We haven't talked to her or talked amongst ourselves. It just popped in my head. We should at least get her online, talk to her. But
it'd be great, yeah.
All right. Life's journey.
Well, yesterday we had a two-hour therapy dog meet and training, and it was fabulous. We're using a new facility. We'll let you know more about that in the future, but it's a local trainer. Cindy Briggs has a place called All Dog Adventures, and just reopening in a new location, and allowed us to use her training room, and it's big, it's beautiful, it has tons of agility equipment because she's like the agility queen, and great padded floors, and we just had a wonderful time. It was a holiday weekend, and we had 8 dog teams show up, so I was thrilled with that. And our group of therapy dogs are everything from dogs who already registered, who are working therapy dogs, down through dogs who are just starting this journey. And I love training them all together. I think it's good for everybody. Our newest person actually has an 8-year-old mixed breed, and Shay is a sweetheart, and Sue is a sweetheart, and we're going to see if we can't get this 8-year-old dog trained, fast-tracked really quickly, get those obedience skills that she needs to pass her registration, and get her as a working therapy dog. I love taking old dogs and giving them jobs. You can absolutely teach old dogs new tricks.
Shay did really well. Actually, all the dogs were phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
but considering the fact that was their very first class, and I know
ever.
Sue, ever, yeah, I know Sue was nervous, but they did phenomenal.
They did.
You know,
dogs, if unless a dog has overwhelming fear or aggression issues, an average tempered dog, they come up to it. They'll do anything we ask them to do. They blow my mind on a regular basis. Dogs are incredible. They're flexible. It's like, okay, we're here now. What are we doing? You know? And we probably worked the dogs for at least an hour of that 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, doing various and sundry things. And as Terry said, every single one of them were fabulous. We were working on bits and pieces of what's required for the Canine Good Citizen certification, and also some of the stuff for the Delta registration for therapy dogs. Even if our dogs do not go to Delta, if they do TDI, Therapy Dogs International or Therapy Dogs Inc., Delta's the toughest, far and away. So if we can train to that level, wherever they test, it will be easy for them.
I liked one of the things that you had talked about a little bit in the group, that for some of the dogs, if it's appropriate, starting with a TDI type
mm-hmm.
certification, get them some practice mm-hmm. and then get them into the Delta.
Right. The Delta test, in my opinion, is going to be way easier for your dog if your dog's got a little bit of age, a little maturity, and some experience actually doing the job. Just, it's a matter of fact, as a dog matures, they get better at what they do. So if you're working with them consistently from the time you get them through 2 years, 3 years, 4 years old, if you're paying attention, you're going to see dramatic differences in how they respond to you. it's the case with Murphy. Murphy, my chocolate lab, is 4 years old. We initially, at when he was a year and a half, we tested for his CGC and passed, his TDI and passed. After working through TDI for 2 years, I decided I wanted to take the Delta test. I just wanted to see how hard it was. I wanted to see for my students. You know, unless you do it, you can't tell folks.
Right.
First time we took it, we flunked. Murphy passed, I failed. Because, just, you know, send the dog in alone. That's what I've been saying all along, you know. He can do anything. He's magic, man. So what I did was regrouped, because the Delta test is about the team. The TDI tests are more about the dog's obedience skills and behaviors. Delta is all about the team, the human and the dog. And so when we went back a few months later, maybe 5 months later, and we passed the test, and now we are a Delta Society Pet Partners team. But, as Terry said, I have some young dogs around 2 years old who need to be working. They need to be getting the experience of going to hospitals, going to nursing homes, and that sort of thing, and they have to be registered to do that. So if the TDI test is a bit easier than Delta, don't do Delta first. Do TDI first. We want the dogs working, and there will never be enough therapy dogs. So that's another reason why. As soon as I think the dogs are ready, let's get them tested. Let's get
now,
them out there.
Are there any places that say you have to be Delta, or is it you just have to be through one of the registered organizations?
The last that I understood, but I tell you, one of the folks who was at training yesterday maybe told me different. I thought you had to be Delta to visit the Children's Hospital here in Richmond. So, but Duke's mom visits there, and she's TDI. So I don't know that that's the case. I will have to check into that. To my knowledge, no, you do not have to have a particular registration with a particular group. And really the whole point of this registration business, folks, is to ensure that you and your dog do work well in public, that your dog has a good temperament as well as good training. That's basically it.
Okay, cool. Well, I know we had a good time. We had two exhausted dogs yesterday and two exhausted handlers. We came home and made a pizza and crashed on the couch.
Yeah, I went home, put my feet up in my recliner, and died. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, guys, that's so fabulous about working your dog. It should be fun, number one, no matter what kind of training you're doing. And number two, it really does give you some great exercise, mentally and physically. You have to focus so much on your dog when you're training that you finish and you go, whoa, that was pretty amazing. And as I was telling Terry, that also happens when you do therapy dog work, and really when you do any kind of work with your dog. I go in for an hour or an hour and a half anywhere with Murphy, and when we're finished, we're both tired. It's been intense. We've had to focus on individuals that he's working with for that period of time, and I mean, it's a really good tired, but it is a tired.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I don't know that we have before, but Murphy and I have started our visits to the local domestic violence shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I can't remember if we mentioned it before, but we've done it for 2 weeks in a row now, an hour and a half, one night a week. While moms are in group therapy, if there are any children, Murphy and I go hang out with them. And it is pretty darn phenomenal. Not unexpectedly, these kids so are drawn to the big brown dog. And
surprise.
Yeah, man. And he is all over it. Again, guys, if we talk about dog temperament, the first week we went, there was only one little girl that Murph hung out with, 5 years old. Prior to that, he'd only met kids for brief periods of time. For a full hour and a half, he wagged and she talked. I swear, it was the most amazing thing. He followed her around, listened to her every word. She was just chattering, 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 and I love you, Murphy. And it was just the coolest thing in the world. So whatever is going on in that child's life outside of that space, she had an amazing time with the dog. And so this is just one more population that can benefit from therapy dog visits.
Yeah. There's a Miss Suri's coming to visit.
Hey, Suri.
She likes to be on the radio.
Yeah, she just gave pot. Feeling better.
She's feeling a little better, yeah. She had an upset tummy yesterday. We weren't sure if it was from all the work we did or if it was from some of the treats. So she's getting around a little bit today.
Yeah.
So Winston, I hear you guys had another session.
Yeah, Winston, our Australian Terrier. Hadn't seen he and his family for like 2 or 3 weeks, and we had a training session this weekend. We met at a dog-friendly mall, and it was the first time Winston had been there. And I will tell you, Terry, he's just coming along so well. He has still got anxiety, but as he learns to trust his family, his humans, he's just getting better every week, every month that they have him in their home. I'm so proud of Don and Joy for what they're doing with this dog. Don in particular, because he's doggy dad. And they've made huge strides. We're going to continue to work, because this is a long-term process of getting Winston to the point where he's not reactive in any situation. But they take him everywhere with them. He's having the opportunity to get out and smell the world and hear the world and see the world that he apparently had never had that opportunity to do before. And we don't know what his previous life was about, because he is a rescue. But he's really come a long way, and he had a couple of moments yesterday when a dog approached. But we started practicing what Don needs to do with him to make that not happen, and we made some good headway just in an hour. So nice. I'm really, really pleased with how Winston is doing. He's a fabulous little boy, and we just want him to thoroughly enjoy life with no more fear issues attached.
Yeah, I like Winston too. He's a good dog, and Don has worked very, very hard getting him from where they started, which when we first met him was very obsessive and a lot of spinning, and he had some baggage. But last time we saw him, it was a whole different dog.
Yep, and again, folks, if you're listening to this and if your dog has issues, understand that some of them can be fixed, quote unquote, fairly quickly, but some things do take time.
Yep.
And one needs patience and persistence and consistency, and that's what's happening in Winston's life. He's very lucky to have the family he's got.
Yeah, he found the right folks.
And we'll put some video up. I have video of Winston and Don practicing touch it. And Don has got a target stick that he attached a small ball to the end of, and he has taught Winston touch it, and it's about focus. It's teaching him to touch that ball on cue wherever that ball is. And we're going to be able to use that out in the world. So it's something that we will post on Bark Radio.
That's
so you
very cool.
You can see Don and Winston in action.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I have not seen that yet. Product update. Well, not so much a product update, but sort of.
Stuff update?
A stuff update, yeah. So in a previous episode, and I don't remember which episode it was, but we talked about some natural things for mosquito repellent. One was tea tree oil.
Okay.
As I did more research on one of the SPCA sites, I found that sometimes dogs will get a little bit of allergic rash from tea tree oil.
Okay.
So if you're using it on your pooch to keep the mosquitoes off, and you see a rash, discontinue the use. Talk to your vet. Make sure that you find something as another alternative. They didn't say it happened a lot, but it can happen.
It's good information to have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. And then the last thing, this was a funny one, and we hadn't talked about this yet. So on a previous episode, we also talked about using guinea hens as tick control.
Yes.
And if our listeners are following us closely, they also know that we talked to Luke from Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles.
Yes.
Well, he's been having a tick issue.
So has he added guinea hens to the herd?
He actually referenced the guinea hens.
Oh, man.
And he's going to be Two Dogs, 2 Guinea Hens, 2,000 Miles.
I love it.
I was hysterical in his reference. It was beautiful. So I shot him a message saying that he could use the beautyberry leaves in his socks to keep the ticks off his legs when he's camping outside.
There you go.
I haven't heard back from him yet, but I was laughing pretty hysterically about the guinea hens because it does work. I'm telling you. The farmers did it.
That's some video I would love to see. Two guinea hens, two dogs, and a Luke.
Anyway, it made me laugh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So I think that's it for this episode.
All right, well, we're out of here for this week. We'll see you soon.
All right, bye-bye.